This morning, we were introduced to one of our global neighbors. Everett spoke to us about the Muslim world and our response to that world. And it may have been a very different sermon than you were expecting to hear. I know it challenged me in the way we are to treat other people and treat those that we may view as our enemies and those that are very different from what we have grown up with and understood, and I really appreciated that. And tonight, I want to continue by looking at another of our global neighbors. We are in the book of Titus during our focus study, and we're in the section dealing with the opponents that Titus had to contend with, and he had to respond to them. And we live in a world of multiculturalism, and there are many groups out there that vie with our faith in Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to look at a group that is much closer to home, probably, than the Muslim world. It's a movement that is gaining ground rapidly in our nation, and it's called the New Age Movement. I'm not sure what you know or have heard about this. It's been called the New National Religion of Young Americans, and it's especially appealing to young people. And so as we go through this tonight, I want to just do it more in a teaching format and more to let you know about this so that you will have opportunity perhaps to talk and share your faith with someone who is of this particular persuasion. There was a song that was made popular in the late 80s called "We Are the World." And that has become the national anthem of the New Age movement. I didn't know that much about it until just a few years ago. We went out to Sedona, Arizona, with Jack and Carol Burnham, and we were looking at all the things you could do in Sedona. And one of the tour ads was for global power spots. And I began to read about that. And apparently Sedona is an unusual place. There are a few places on the earth like Sedona where there are supposed to be energy sites. And they're called vortexes. And these vortex meditation sites are places where people can come and they will get energy for their soul. And I didn't know much about that. And I read that little bit in the brochure while we were there in Sedona. One of the things that was offered there in Sedona is life coaching. And you can go to one of these coaches and they will help you in human design. And that helps you arrange your life. There were classes in astrology and in shamanism. And so that was a little foreign to me. And in my mind at that time, I thought, well, we're out here where a lot of Native Americans are, and I know that there's influence in that way, and perhaps that's what this is about. But I've begun to hear it in a lot of other places. The vocabulary that goes with this generally talks about getting in touch with your inner self, are getting in touch with your higher self. I looked through the bookstore, and there is a huge section on New Age writings. And these are just some of the names of the books that you'll see in any of the bookstores here in Springfield. Numerology for Babies Names. Modern Witches Spellbook. The New Astrology. Channeling Past and Present Lives, The Power of Dreams, Messages from Your Inner Self. I'm beginning to see it in some surprising areas. Now, Vicki and I like to watch HGTV, and we like to see these people buying houses and fixing up houses, and that's one of our favorite channels. Recently, they had an episode about a man who purchased a house, and before he would move into the house, he hired a spiritist, and the spiritist came out, and I was just really interested in this episode, and he was going to go through to see if there was any evil energy anywhere in the house, and he started in the basement and went up through the rooms. And he had what looked like, as a boy, I remember guys that would look for water wells, and they had these witching rods, and then they would cross where there was water. And he walked through the house with those rods to see if there was evil energy, and there was not. But he went out and found the force fields of the house and where they intersected, and on each corner of that property, then he buried a crystal to protect that house from negative energy. Well, I'd never seen that before. On another episode on the same channel, we saw a lady who bought a place in New York City, and she had an interior designer come in, and he had an expert in feng shui come in, and that allows the flow of chi, which is good energy, to go through the house. And there are all these rules about arranging your furniture so that this positive energy flows through your home and you have good feng shui. And you never put a staircase against the front door because that positive energy flows in and it will be misdirected. You never put a mirror in front of your front door, or that will cause that positive energy to flow back out of your house rather than in through it in the way you go. So it's all around us. And I'm seeing it more and more in the public media and in my own experience. I want to simply define this for you because you may or may not be familiar with it. You may or may not have seen some of these things yet. The New Age movement is a collection of Eastern-influenced metaphysical thought systems founded on the belief in evolutionary Godhead and global unity. Now, I'm going to define this for you so that it makes a little bit more sense to you. The first of these is evolutionary Godhead. And the basic tenet in that belief is that evolution occurs both in our bodies, in the physical realm, and also evolution occurs in the spiritual realm. And it's based on the premise that man's basic being is good, and that man is actually divine. Man shares with God that divine spark. Now, most folks, not all, but most folks within the New Age movement accept and believe in Darwinian evolution, that man has descended from a lower species up and is constantly in the process of evolving into a higher and better species. But they also believe that we have evolved spiritually, and that in those dark beginnings of time, the divine spark was within the creature, and that as we move up the chain, evolution chain, that we're doing so spiritually, and we're becoming more and more like God. In fact, we're growing into a full-grown, mature God in each of our own identities. Many of the practices of the New Age movement are designed to help people move along that path, along that upward climb in the evolutionary process. There's a practice called astral projection, and that's training your soul to leave your body and to travel in the netherworld. Also, contacting spirits, channeling, and trying to find someone from the ancient past, or even channeling into the future and find some person either dead or yet to be born who will serve as a guide to help your soul and your spirit find the right direction. Using crystals to purify your bodies and your mind's energy systems. And also visualization, where you use mental imagery. And this is especially done when a person has a disease and where you think yourself out of that diseased situation. Now, the goal in this whole evolutionary process is to be a complete God, to reach godness. It's called the Christ principle, because they believe that Jesus was one of the first ones to ever reach that perfect level, that Jesus was one who had completed the evolutionary process, and he reached the ultimate goal, which is called God consciousness. He realized and understood that he was fully God. Now, a New Age person will not accept Jesus Christ as a Savior, mainly because they do not believe that we need a Savior. Possessing the divine spark means that each person possesses divinity in and of themselves, and they have creative abilities which can be developed in their full power, that we can all be just like Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just do a running response to this as we go along. First of all, I just want to say the New Age movement is really nothing new at all. It began actually in the Garden of Eden, and it began with Eve when Satan came to her in Genesis 3. And remember what he said, when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And that's really the goal of the New Age movement, is to be like God, knowing good and evil. Scripture takes a very different view of the New Age movement as far as the doctrine of God and man. In Scripture, God is the sole creator, and man is the creation, is a part of creation, the pinnacle of creation, but nonetheless part of creation. In Isaiah 44:24, God says through the prophet, "I am the Lord who has made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens and who spread out the earth by myself." So according to Scripture, you and I do not possess the creative ability that God alone possesses, and we are the created rather than the creator. In Scripture, God is pictured alone as being divine. Man is mortal. God alone is good. Man is sinful, and as such is in need of a Savior. Now, the other part of this is the global unity. And this is very appealing because we live in such a divided world that this particular appeal of the New Age movement is very strong, especially with young people. And they say, let's just all be one. Why all the fighting? You'll see bumper stickers that are New Age bumper stickers that have the symbols of all the world's religion all together, and they'll say something like, why can't we just all get along, or God is one. And so they take the best of all the religions and say, let's all be one together and let's all be unified, and that is to be the direction. Now, as such, this religion is pantheistic. We in Christianity are monotheistic, one God. Pantheistic means all the gods, all religions, all together. And that's the slogan of the New Age movement, all is God. God is seen in everything, and as such, practitioners of the New Age movement revere the earth, and they call the earth Mother Earth, and God is in the stones and the trees and the rivers and the birds and the fish and all the animals. God is everywhere. That's a pantheistic view of God. Now, they break it down into these three areas. They talk about man with man, and the goal is to achieve harmony and mutual love and acceptance through the realization and acceptance of divine knowledge. And so if you can just get your thinking straight, that will bring about the unity between all of mankind. They see good in every religion, and they want to take that good and combine it all together. Now, the average practitioner in New Age thinking is looking and longing for a single world leader who will adopt New Age principles, and in doing that, will guide the world into a single, harmonious, loving, economic whole. And it's hoped that this leader will lead the world into spiritual unity, and that ultimately will be one economy as the world and one religion as the world. That's the end goal of it all. The man with man part, or the man with nature part, the second item here, is that since God is in all of us, we must also get in tune with nature and learn to nurture the world around us and let the world around us nurture us. And here is where they draw heavily on American Indian philosophies, Native American philosophies, because they focus on the earth and on nature and on man's relationship with nature. Man, and this is important, in New Age thinking, man and nature are equivalent. They are of the same importance. As humans, are no more or less important than animals or fish or trees. We must respect all of the world and live in harmony with that world. And as such, don't place any higher value on a human than they would an endangered species. Now, the man with God portion, the last part here, says that since man is divine in nature, all people, once they see themselves as such, will move into the divine sphere and realize their own goodness and their own godness. God is simply a force in this worldview. It's the same kind of force that we see in the Star Wars, "May the Force be with you." This force is impersonal. It's not in a God that has shown himself in the flesh like Christianity. It's an impersonal force. It's omnipresent. It's everywhere. It's in everything. And it's benevolent. In fact, this force is so benevolent that no one will ever be condemned. It's a very positive view, and you can see why people find that appealing. There's no hell in the New Age movement. There's no written authority, and so people are basically free to live any way they would like to. There's one rule only in the New Age movement, and that rule is be true to yourself. There's only one sin in the New Age movement, and that is the sin of intolerance. They are very open to any and everything and any and all beliefs. And so the greatest sin, the only sin really, is to be intolerant of other beliefs. There are no moral absolutes in the New Age movement. Now, let me just respond to these three, and let me do it in reverse order, and I'm going to start with man and God. Scripture claims to be authoritative. Jesus claimed such authority. In John 12:48, Jesus said, "There's a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke will condemn him in the last day." Scripture, both at the beginning and the end of the canon, says don't add to, don't take away from the word. Over and over again, Scripture claims to be authoritative. And so it's very different from the claims of the New Age movement. In the area of man and nature, Scripture teaches that man occupies a unique position in all of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and following, it says, "Let him," that is man, "rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So man is, in the eyes of God, the pinnacle of creation. Man is more important than the animals or the fish or the trees. And as far as many of those who would not even eat an animal within this movement, Jesus contrasts that because he ate a lamb at the Passover feast. He cooked fish there on the beach and ate with his disciples. Now we need to realize, and one good thing that comes out of this movement is the importance of stewardship. And so that is critically important, and the emphasis on living in a green environment and doing things that will help promote our environment, much of that is very appealing to those within the New Age movement. And we do have a responsibility as Christians to be good stewards of this world. So we need not to neglect that aspect of our relationship with God. In Scripture, the absolute goodness of man is denied. In Romans 3, Paul writes, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Scripture says there's one who's perfect. All else have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then in the man with man, wanting all mankind to be together, I would have to say this is the one tenet that we can be perfectly agreed with the New Age movement on. I mean, we want to be unified. We pray for unity. We want there to be peace and harmony between all of mankind. But the difference is the basis of this unity. Not because we are all gods in ourselves, all growing to understand our goodness, but our plea for unity is based on the oneness that exists only in Christ Jesus. Now, there are other beliefs, and I'll turn this off, but there is the belief that's very popular within most of the New Age movement, not all, in reincarnation. This is a tenet that comes out of Hinduism. Many of the New Age people, if they talk to you as a Christian, they'll say, well, reincarnation was in the Bible, but way back there, years ago, they took all the verses out of the Bible that deal with reincarnation. There's a strong appeal to this because this idea of there being no judgment fits in with this continued cycling through life, improving yourself each time you go through life. Reincarnation has become almost a fad in America. Even outside of the New Age movement, there are many folks today who are embracing a belief in reincarnation. In the East, it's seen as a punishment. You've got to do it again. It's another do-over, another do-over. And you may come back as a rat, or you may come back as a pig. And you just continue in this endless cycle. Scripture is very clear on this point, and we began with this verse at the beginning. Hebrews 9:27, man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. When Jesus hung on the cross, he didn't tell that thief, you're going to cycle through endless generations until you finally get it right. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. And then there's also a fascination with angels. There are a lot of other interesting things about the New Age movement. Many within the New Age movement attempt to communicate to their guardian angel, and they try to channel through angels. They will pray to angels. They will use angels almost like good luck charms as they're traveling and when they're facing danger. John was very clear, or we read it very clearly in the book of Revelation, that John was not to fall down before an angel. John was to worship God alone. Well, what do you say? And I want to close with this. What do you say? Because it's very likely that you're going to run into people who have become very interested in this New Age movement. You guys especially, younger folks, are going to find friends that are very interested in the New Age movement. What do you say? They'll tell you Jesus was a good man. And Jesus was the first to actually realize his true potential and to achieve that true potential, the same potential that we all have to be God. Well, I would just challenge anyone to look at the claims of Jesus and the statements in Scripture. Jesus claimed to be good not because he recognized his godness and then grew into it. He claimed to be with the Father from the beginning. Before Abraham was born, I am, using that holy name of God. They picked up stones to stone him because he wasn't even 50 years old, and yet he claimed to have known God and seen things that only God could have seen. It's the old trilemma that C.S. Lewis first proposed, that Josh McDowell popularized, that Jesus is either who he claimed to be, or he is a liar, or he is a lunatic. You can't have this Jesus just being a good man. And so I would challenge people to look at the claims of Jesus in this area. And then I would discuss the whole notion of moral relativity. That whole way of thinking just really does not compute if you begin to look at it logically. If nothing is right and nothing is wrong, I would just ask someone, then you really can't condemn what Hitler did in Nazi Germany. If there is no right and no wrong, if it's what's right for me and what's right for you, and we each must be true to our own self, then we can't really condemn anyone. We must tolerate any and every action, however heinous that may be. No, Christians believe that there is a right and that there is a wrong, and we as Christians believe that we are not the ones who set the standards. Only God does that. And I would submit to you that the greatest response is the same response that Everett challenged us with this morning. There is nothing more appealing than love. And when we treat people the way God has treated us, and when we love people, and when we're patient with people, and when we share the truth with people in love and in kindness, there is something terribly winsome about that. Tonight, we're going to sing this closing song of invitation. And if there's anyone here who's never bent the knee to Jesus, we pray that you'll do that, that you'll confess him and be baptized before this night is over. One day, we will die. And one day, we will stand before the judgment seat. And Jesus longs to forgive, and he longs to take you home to be with him. If you need to come, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.